Good morning and welcome to Jumpin' Tucson. I am your host, Ted Maxwell, and you've joined us, hopefully, for the Engagement Hour. The purpose of the Engagement Hour is to encourage you to get involved. It's important to remember that we are a nation bound by shared values of freedom, liberty, and equality. And with that comes some rights and responsibilities. For some, that includes service to our country and our community. I want to open today's show by acknowledging the service and sacrifice of Tucson Police Officer Adam Buckner. Officer Buckner passed away following a vehicular accident as he was responding to a call Sunday evening. Officer Buckner had more than 7 years of service with both the New Orleans Police Department as well as being with TPD since 2021. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family, his friends, the Tucson Police Department, and all those that serve. Officer Buckner, thank you for your service and sacrifice to our community. We promise you will not be forgotten. We'll be right back after the break. Good morning and welcome back to Jump In Tucson. I am Ted Maxwell, your host, and that's Greg Gehringer behind the glass sitting in for Matt Neely today. And Greg's got a lot going on as we're having some technical difficulties down here at the station, and he's responsible for everything that goes on operationally. So I'm going to try to make it as easy as possible for him to support us in this moment. Those of us who have served, many of us have lost friends, comrades, coworkers, and others, and we understand that life will go on, as will the show. So I want to give one more shout out to all the first responders who are out there today and every day making our community a safe place. Talked about Jump In Tucson being about getting engaged. At least this Tuesday show is about getting engaged. There's a lot of different ways to get engaged. For some, it is serving in public service, either as a first responder or in the military, but that's not for everybody. We know that. For others, it's supporting their local communities, either through nonprofit organizations, through neighborhood associations, school boards. There are so many different ways to serve. And most importantly, we all need to remember the importance of being an involved citizen. And that means being informed, knowing the issues, and then voting. As long as we can all make informed votes, we'll have a better community. My guest today, and I first off want to start with thanking Teresa Rial for showing up early, as because the issues going on at the station, my first guest is unable to call in. So Teresa, you've bought probably an extra 20 minutes so we can talk about Pima Community College. So welcome today.
Thank you, Ted. It's really nice to be here.
Teresa Rial is actually a Tucsonan. She graduated from Sabino High School. And then her first post-high school effort was to travel with Up With People. We'll talk about that a little bit. Teresa studied at the University of Arizona, so she's a Wildcat times two. She earned her BA in 1987 and then an MA in teaching and teacher education and mathematics in 1995. So a lifelong learner, but also a lifelong teacher. She taught for over 33 years throughout Southern Arizona, including the last 23 years on the faculty of Pima Community College. So Teresa, welcome today. I look forward to learning more about you and your story, and we've got some extra time. One of the important things we try to stress on the show is that people should make a knowledgeable decision to get involved. So after high school graduation, you joined Up With People, and I know that had some impact on you and what you were doing throughout life. Can you give us a little bit of your upbringing and why the decision to go travel the world with Up With People?
Sure. I was raised in a military family. My dad was a pilot in the U.S. Air Force. And so every 3 years, we would move to a new location, get involved with a new community, find new friends. You know, when I started working here, you know, of course, getting new jobs. My dad always raised us to be, you know, don't necessarily follow the crowd, be true to yourself, what you think is important, follow those sorts of ideals. I graduated in 1982 from Sabino, loved that school. I had the greatest teachers ever. And I applied to get accepted into Up With People, and fortunately I was. It's back then it was a singing dancing group. We did, reached out, did a lot of community service. Did a lot of sound shows at nursing homes and elementary schools and things like that. And then also our big, huge 2-hour sound show. We had, you know, 4,000 pounds of light and sound equipment. And I sang and danced and did a couple of, tried to do a couple of MCs in Spanish, but they never let me, which I didn't understand because I thought that'd be the coolest thing. And anyway, I still know the one MC by heart today. And it was the intro to a 1960s medley where we had songs and dances from the 60s. It was just a super fun show. But it was all about love and peace and understanding, building bridges of communication between different peoples, different cultures, different beliefs and values. So I traveled my first semester. I traveled extensively throughout Mexico. We went to every single state, at least one city in every single state, and a couple of states. We traveled to numerous cities. We didn't go to the Yucatan or Quintana Roo, and then one other state I can't remember down there. But it was a great experience. I had taken a bunch of Spanish in high school. I'd taken 1 year in junior high and then 4 years in high school. And when I lived in Mexico, that 6 months, I actually started to dream in Spanish.
That immersion had to be incredible. I mean, I've been, I think, on Duolingo for almost a full year now. And the problem is, I know until I immerse myself, I'm not going to get there. So that was an incredible opportunity for you. And I think most people from my generation, which is a little older than many at this time, remember seeing Up with people at some point through either their early youth or even, you know, in their young adult years. So I'm sure that was an incredible decision. Now, after that, you came back, became a Wildcat, and you had obviously by then made the decision that you were going to head into education. And what led you down that path?
So that's sort of an interesting topic. I was a lifeguard for the city of Tucson for about 12 years during high school and college. And then after I graduated from college, and when I was in college, my boss, Billy Sassy, recommended me to be the director of an athletics recreation center out in Sells on the Tohatham Otham Nation. And so I did that for about a year and a half. I trained lifeguards, and we ended up just having a great time teaching young children who had never swam before, teaching kids how to swim. And then that job lasted for about a year and a half. And that was actually when I was in college. So I would work there Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. And when I left, I had graduated from the U of A. I got a degree in Spanish and minored in math for my bachelor's. And as I was leaving town, I was stopped by one of the local police officers, and they said that the superintendent at Babakivi Junior Senior High wanted to talk to me. So I drove over to the building where this superintendent was working, and I wish I could remember his name, but it just escaped me just recently. Anyway, he said they had a full-time math job for a semester, and would I be interested since I minored in math? And I said, well, I don't have a teaching certificate. And he said, well, we can take care of that since we need you. And so that was the start of my teaching career. And from that point on, I either taught math or Spanish or math in Spanish. And so it was a really, I loved it. I was fortunate to meet a lot of people who could help me along the way. And I just went from, you know, each of these jobs was a 1-year job for my first 3 jobs. And then I finally got a full-time job teaching at Pister Middle School. And that was from 88 to 92. And then in 92, I was selected by the University of Arizona to do a math co-op where they would, TUSD continued to pay my salary, but they loaned me to the University of Arizona, and I got my master's in that year and a half in teaching and teacher education, focusing in mathematics. And I taught classes, college level classes at the U of A. So that was the start of my being in love with math and teaching math for the rest of my career.
Well, I know that mathematics is something that you've always come through. When you were a candidate for the Board of Governors, we talked about it, and you focused a lot on the data and the math and the numbers and making sure those all work. So I always learn something new about folks when I bring them on the show, and I did not realize you had actually started at the high school and the junior high, the lower levels. And I appreciate you sharing that with us and going back, but it obviously became a passion because you did it for 33 years. And so after getting your MA, and you're still at that time, assuming teaching inside at TUSD, when did you make the transition to teaching at the community college?
I had my second son in 1995, and I took a year off. And my husband was not super thrilled that I was loving being a stay-at-home mom so much, and he really encouraged me to get a job. And so one of my dear friends told me, well, apply for a job at Pima, because they never, ever hire first-time applicants, right? You always have to do your time being adjunct faculty. And so I went into that job interview feeling, you know, perfect, because I really didn't need or want the job. I wanted to stay at home and raise my kids. And but I think since there was absolutely no pressure on me, I just did a great job on the interview. And 2 days later, they offered me the full-time job. And so that was in August of 97. I started teaching at Pima College.
It's always amazing when you have no pressure on you, how things tend to come about. It's when you're struggling or you're working hard. And so that was worked out obviously for the best for you as well as Pima Community College. And I think if you could talk about the 23 years you taught there at the college and what you found so valuable about teaching there versus some of the other opportunities that you may have been able to get. The community college provides a very unique role because it's so broad to our community. What was it that drove you every day?
So I was so fortunate. I absolutely loved Pima's culture and their mission and their values and what we offer students. In the math program, at Pima College, we teach everything from basic arithmetic all the way up through vector calculus, differential equations, linear algebra. And those are the courses that, of course, people take to become engineers and scientists and things like that. But in order to get there, a lot of people weren't able to do basic high school math. And so for the first maybe 10 years of my career, I did teach calculus and trigonometry, those higher level classes every once in a while. But mostly I focused on developmental mathematics, teaching, you know, young adults anywhere from, you know, 15, 16 years old. I had an 86-year-old once. And so, you know, I believe that I personally have never met a person who couldn't learn mathematics well. And, you know, they'd always come up to me, you know, I never passed a math class in my life. And I said, well, welcome to the beginning of the rest of your life, because you're gonna find out how your brain works in my classes. And from this point on, you'll be successful. And so I spent a lot of time doing that, helping students learn how to do basic math. And over the years, you know, when you teach somewhere for that long, you see a lot of students. And so I have students come up to me all the time and say, hey, I'm sure you don't remember me, but I was in your, you know, pre-algebra class in 1997. And you know, you showed me how my brain understood math. And you know, now these people, they're scientists and radiologist and, you know, all sorts of different jobs that they said they never would have gotten had they not learned how their brains understood math and could work through math. So that was the part about it that I loved.
That's one of the important things that I think we all need to recall and remember. I would say nearly everybody, if not everybody, has a teacher that they remember by name for the rest of their life that made a difference in their trajectory and the what is possible and their success. And to me, the community college plays such a significant role in that, because you are teaching both getting individuals up to a point that they may not have achieved through their high school career. And, you know, that's a whole nother discussion, but you get them there, but you can also take those to the next level. So there's so many different roles that the community college takes. But if I did my math correctly, you retired right around 2020. The 2019, 2020 timeframe.
Correct.
You had a couple years off, but then something inspired you to run. So in 2022, you ran to be on the Pima Community College Board of Governors. And can you tell us why that became one of your desires? Why you were inspired to try to now, after 33 years of teaching and serving our youth and our next generation, you decided you want to take this elected position and the challenge of getting elected.
Yeah, another great fortuitous opportunity. I mean, it just fell in front of me. Some of my colleagues that still work at the college called me up and they said, hey, you know, a long time ago, you were complaining about something that was happening at the college. And you said that, you know, when you became queen or something silly like that, and then you said, no, you know, I should actually run for this college governing board when I get done. I don't remember saying that at all, but there were two people that were present when supposedly I said that. Anyway, they called me up and they asked me what I consider running for the governing board because seat two was up for re-election. And they thought that it would be really important to have somebody who understood mathematics and somebody who understood from the inside how the college can and should work. And I asked them if they'd give me 2 weeks. So this was like in October of 2021 that they called me up. So they, I said, give me 2 weeks and I'll do a pro and con list. And so right away I had three pros and two pages of cons.
And okay, that's good. That's good.
And so I talked to a bunch of people and, you know, I just sort of realized that it would also, besides being able to make a difference in a different way at Pima Community College, it would also be a great learning opportunity for me. How many times does one, you know, at my age with my experience get this opportunity to learn how to run a campaign and do everything involved with elections and then also learn everything that I had to learn about the college. So 2 weeks later, they called me back up and I told them, yeah, I would run. And they said that they would help me in every way they could, which was very, I appreciate everybody who helped me. But it really was a one-woman show for a lot of the parts. You know, I did my own fundraising and I wasn't very good at it. So I raised about $23,000. About seven of that was my mom and me donating to me because she believed in me. And well, she didn't actually. She was like, why are you doing this? Are you sure you want to do this? Every time I talk to her, she still last night, she asked me, are you done with your first year yet? And I said, yeah, mom, I'm actually in month 14, you know? So anyway, I installed all of my signs and I took them all down. Everything I did, campaign finance reports, I'd never knew anything about that. So I got to learn a lot of new information and new skills. And then the other thing was I spent every month I would watch the governing board meeting. I wouldn't go to them, but I would watch them recorded after the fact. And it's sort of nice because they were very lengthy, long meetings. And so I would listen to them at 1.5 or 2 times the speed. And then
you keep going.
Okay.
We're on.
I would watch the board meetings, and almost many board meetings, there would be something that would be presented to the board. And I didn't agree with the math or the data that was being presented. I didn't know for sure about the numbers, but how it was presented, a lot of those things, they seemed biased or misleading. And so I used all of that to my advantage. You know, I'd photocopied screen capture and I'd bring that along when I was campaigning the next couple of days. And I think that people really, really responded to the fact that the reason I wanted to get on the board is because I wanted to make sure that somebody was paying attention to the math and somebody was paying attention to the employees and then also enrollment. So those were three things I thought that had been on the decline for the last couple of years.
Well, and I think your story is one for folks who always wonder if they should or could get involved in run for a school board or even run for a local election. You were significantly outraised financially by the incumbent, and yet you still won in a pretty impressive fashion. A lot of it is just getting the message out, hard work on the ground, and making it happen. So I think your story in that respect is important. We've got about two more minutes until we do hit our break, and I'm with Pima Community College Board of Governors Chair Teresa Real. Can you talk a little bit? I want to cover the board responsibilities before we go to break. So if you could summarize a lot of the responsibilities in a minute and a half, I know that's tough, but if you could try to do that, that way when we get back, we can go back on any of those, but we'll also talk about the issues.
Yes. So when I started, I thought I was going to change the world. And then I realized that being on the board means you're one member of a five-member team. And the only way to make things happen is if you have a majority or more, preferably unanimous votes work really well. But so it has been, there have been some things that I wanted to see changed, but I realized that that was unrealistic. So the board's really, the purpose of the board is governance, high level oversight. We do approve any dollar amount over the federal threshold limit. I think it's $250,000. And we're in charge of accepting the budget. We're in charge of things like raising taxes when we have to and raising tuition. Both of those, you know, have a lot of uncomfortable, you know, people are uncomfortable with that, but it's important to make sure that the college is financially able to do the services we do. And then there are all of the other little things, you know, the appreciation for our employees and our students. We meet with public officials all the time to make sure that they understand the benefits and the opportunities for students at the college. And that's just basically the gist of it.
Well, Teresa, I appreciate you being on the show. I really appreciate you coming in early, because we've had an opportunity to talk. We'll go back and explore a little bit about what you've learned in the first year, that little 14 months now, that you've been the chair of the board since you took that role right away. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVY 1030, the trusted local news and talk. We'll be back in a minute. Good morning and welcome back to KVOI 1030 The Voice. You're listening to the Jump in Tucson show. I'm your host, Ted Maxwell, and with me today is Pima Community College Board Chair of the Board of Governors, Teresa Rial, and appreciate having you on the show with me today. This is the engagement hour. We talk about people being involved. You shared with us already how you're coming from the military family, and I always like to throw out the military family when possible. You were used to moving around, but you were also kind of built with that idea of engagement and service as part of your core. And when you fell in love with teaching, that led to a lot of things, to including your desire to come back and make a further difference on the Pima Community College Board of Governors. You not only stepped onto a new role, something new, like you said, you've learned in the first half hour, you said you learned a lot about what the responsibility of the board is, but you stepped right into the role of being the chair, which a lot of times on elected boards can be a challenge in and of itself. So you've been 14 months on the board, 14 months as its chair. Can you kind of talk about what you see your role and responsibility as holding that leadership position, and what you've learned about working with four other members who may or may not always agree with your thoughts?
Yes, thank you. I want to reach out to my four other.
Okay, we've got you on.
Okay. I just want to reach out to the four other board members on the Pima College Governing Board. Dr. Wade McLean from District 1, Maria Garcia from District 3, Greg Taylor from District 4, and Luis Gonzalez from District 5. And it's definitely a collaborative effort. We all support each other, even though we have differences of opinions. If you watch the board meetings, our votes are hardly ever unanimous, but they're usually great conversation and discussion, and we all learn a little bit through those.
And you acknowledged earlier, they're not always, it's not like it's a constant 3-2. You've got a lot of 4-1 votes. You've got some unanimous.
Sure.
And I think everyone on that board wants to support the college.
Yes. And it's been, to be honest, it's been a great experience. I absolutely love being on this board. I love the people I work with. The administration at the college is really doing a great job. So I feel very, very thankful. When we ended up our first meeting in January of last year, we had an election for who was going to be chair. And to be honest, I didn't actually think about it. But then in some meetings that we had had right before that meeting, they were talking about, you know, that the chair and the vice chair attend more meetings with the chancellor and the administration. So we have this working relationship. And I sort of felt like I didn't want to miss out, you know, that FOMO whole thing of fear of missing out. And I realized that I have the time and I have the energy right now to do this extra work being the board chair. So and to be honest, I can't even remember if I nominated myself. I might have nominated myself, but I was really, I felt very thankful when I was elected board chair. Dr. Wade McLean is the vice chair, and I've learned so much from his experience and his knowledge. He is a great person to be co-chairing that board with.
And Dr. McLean stepped into a position that was vacated with the resignation. So he's come in, he had past experience, he was a perfect person to step into that role. And at the time he had talked about not running, and he actually won't be. You'll have three board members, two incumbents running for re-election. You'll have one open seat. And so that's obviously an important part of going forward. Let's talk about some of the issues, okay, and some of the things going on. We're going to start off with one that I think is a very positive story and one that's great. And actually, none of these issues are bad stories. They're just continued challenges. But recently, you held the Futures Conference, which is a conference that was created to talk about what from both the community. I mean, the number of folks that were there were just amazing. I had the honor of speaking and talking about workforce development, what we thought, which SALC and a lot of business leaders think is a very important aspect of the college's role. Not the only one by any means, but you participated in the full conference itself. Can you kind of talk about how that helps the board understand the direction that the college should go, or gets at least insight from those who both are engaged, involved, and part of the college?
Yeah. The Futures Conference, I think this is the third year that they've had it. I'm not really sure because it's the first one I attended.
I think you're right. There may have been one pre-COVID, and so things changed like they did for the entire community. But yes, it's something that was started under Chancellor Lambert.
Yeah, and it was, so my experience, we had students from a couple of different school districts, students that were involved in some of the maybe JTED programs and things like that at their high schools. And so they have a vested interest in making sure that the college is the best place it can be for their educational opportunities. And then there were community members, business members, a lot of faculty, a lot of staff, a lot of administrators from the college. And, you know, we just sat at round tables discussing issues. And I think the issues that we talked about were pertinent to making sure that if we can, I mean, we don't necessarily have to solve these issues right away, but as long as we're moving in a positive direction. And I'm trying to think, I can't really remember right now. It's just popped my mind what the issue at my table was, but it had to do with, you know, students being able to get into the programs that they needed, whether it be an academic program, you know, pursuing an associate's degree for a two-year degree, or whether it be in one of the myriad programs and certificate programs that we have for advanced manufacturing, all of the different technological fields. I think it's the college. My experience at the college was sort of a narrow scope. I taught math. I was in academics. I did take woodworking for 5 or 6 semesters. I did take welding at the college for 6 or 7 or 8 semesters. So I did know that there were those programs, but I had never known that my students were in those kind of programs. So the college is multifaceted, and that's what is so unique and so important about our community college. So I think the Futures program was really, really good because it's going to help us make our strategic plan for the next couple of years.
Absolutely. I know it was discussed there, all of the different roles that the college play. You mentioned the two-year, you know, degree. There's some folks that come in seeking that. Some just necessarily seek that, but the majority of those two-year degree seekers are also looking at going on to complete a four-year education. We've talked about the workforce development piece. There's nothing more important to help, in my opinion, to help address poverty and families and situations than getting somebody the skills and nowadays, quite often, the certifications and the documentation to walk right into a well-paying job. And the community college plays a huge role there. Now, there's other pieces to it, too. You went back as a teacher and learned about welding and other issues like that. So it gives an opportunity for people to go there. But to me, those top two, the workforce development piece and the degree-seeking piece, is really important. So it is a big challenge. You came in... and I know we talked very early about you wanting to learn more about the Centers of Excellence. And could you just kind of talk what maybe your opinion pre being elected and your opinion now is on the role of those Centers of Excellence and some of the workforce development that goes on in the community college?
So prior to being elected, I really didn't have an opinion on the Centers of Excellence because I didn't know what they were. I was invited in December, so after I was elected, but before I took office, to the grand opening of the Advanced Manufacturing Building. And I brought my niece with me. She had attended Pima College for her first 2 years, and then she got a degree in mechanical engineering. And the company that she works for actually did the HVAC drawing design of that huge building at the downtown campus. So she was with me, and we, after the, you know, the festivities, we went on a tour with Greg Wilson, and she and I both, so I'm close to 60 and she's close to 25. We were both so awed and inspired and enamored by all of the opportunities in those programs and those buildings. And it just really, at that point, I became, it wasn't that I wasn't a believer before, I just didn't know. But I firmly believe that anybody who wants to get that kind of education to develop those skills, and we need them, you know, HVAC is changing so fast in our nation. And, you know, everything, just the technology and how things change. I mean, when I was a kid, it changed, you know, maybe every decade or two. Now I think technology is changing every 6 months to a year. So the college really has a very unique position in lifting up the county citizens through education or exposure or experience, or just like somebody like me, I might not ever learn any of those skills, but there are going to be people in our community who know them, who can, you know, help with HVAC, for example, in our homes, things like that. So it's amazing.
And it is a critical piece, especially from that business focus. I mean, HVAC's a perfect example. You've got folks in that industry that are aging out. They're more in our age range maybe than others. And we need the replacements because guess what? We're going to have HVAC, you know, needs for eternity. I mean, it's going to go on. So I appreciated you taking that reach out. That's one of the issues we had talked about when you were running, but you were very clear. I don't know that much about it, but you've broadened your scope. And a matter of fact, last time we got together, you were selling me on a new cyber education system that's set, and the opportunities in that realm, if you want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's another one that's just so amazing. The cybersecurity warfare range at the East Campus, it's student driven, so they don't necessarily have a lot of people up there lecturing. They're encouraging students to hack into. It's an enclosed
yeah. hacking you're doing, just right. So everybody knows,
right.
It's not
right.
You're encouraging them to hack outside right. The college campus.
But I understand. I mean, I didn't at first. I was like, hack. Why are we teaching students to do that? Malfeasance and all of that. But in order to understand how to cure hacking, you know, how to ameliorate the situation when you are hacked, you have to understand how those people are thinking and feeling and wanting to, you know, do this little tug of war with power.
You can't play good defense if you don't know the offense.
Correct. So it's an amazing system. They're hiring, as we speak, they're hiring two new full-time right. faculty because the wait list on those programs, they have enough students on the wait list that they needed to hire two new full-time full-time faculty.
Absolutely. And that's the voice of Teresa Real, the Pima Community College board chair. When we come back, Teresa, we're going to talk a little bit about what perhaps is the most important role of the board, and that's hiring a chancellor. We'll talk about that search and what's going on. You're listening to KVOI 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk, and we'll be right back after the break. Good morning, and welcome back to Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Ted Maxwell. You have joined us for the Engagement Hour, where we talk about being active, involved in your community, in service, in leadership, or with whatever your favorite nonprofits are. Today with me, I've got Teresa Real, the chair of the Pima Community College Board of Governors. We've talked a lot about things going on, but she's not just active through the education system. She's also incredibly involved in her Tucson community. She's serving as the president of the Rosemont West Neighborhood Association, and also as a big sister for the big brothers and sisters of Southern Arizona. Regular volunteer also at Sister Jose's Women's Shelter, which is, I've got several close friends who are involved with that program as well. So thank you for your commitment to the community and to the college. Now, as the chair, I kind of teased it coming in. One of the most important things to me about the community college is the role of the chancellor and the board. We've talked about this. Their number one responsibility is that governance and oversight of the chancellor. But right now, it's the selection of the chancellor. So the chancellor search has begun. So can you kind of talk about what the next couple months in making this incredibly important decision will look like?
Yes, thank you. I agree. I think the chancellor is, you know, it's the CEO of the organization. And if we don't choose the right person, then the college can't grow and expand and improve to its full advantage. And so, you know, the person we're looking for is going to have to be know how to connect with community, know how to connect with the elected officials, with our community, businesses, all of that. Because even though we're a community college and we serve everybody, we couldn't serve everybody without the input and the support of, you know, the community. Besides being that, with that liaison to the community, they also have to understand the workings of a community college. You know, it's different than a high school, it's different than a university, because we have this broad band of educational offerings that are part of the college. The person that we hire needs to believe in the vision of the former chancellor that had believed in the workforce development, the centers of excellence, all of that. We need to make sure that not only do those continue, but that they have to grow. Our enrollments, the number of students we have matriculating and following through, getting certificates and degrees and graduating from those programs, it needs to continue to increase. But at the same time, we need to really have someone who is concerned with enrollment. And there are all sorts of doom and gloom stories out there. But from my opinion, it doesn't matter. I don't care that, you know, the birth dearth, we're having fewer children, we're graduating fewer students from high school. We still have people in our county. It's estimated that there are 60% of the people in Southern Arizona don't have a certificate, a credential, or a degree. And it's one of Pima College's part of their strategic plan right now to improve that, to double our completer counts within the next couple of years. In order to double our completer counts, we have to do one of two things. We have to make sure everybody that is currently enrolled graduates, receives their certificate or degree, or we have to make sure that enrollment is increasing so we have a bigger body of students with which we can help them graduate. So in the next, I'd say between now and the beginning of May, so that's only like a month and a half, we will be having, the ad already went out. It's in a bunch of, periodicals in higher education. We hired Anthem, Executive, which is a search firm for CEO executive level employees. And they are currently taking applications. You can go to Pima's website and search Chancellor Search. If you know of anybody that you think would be a great, great person in that job, send him or her our way. And then the beginning of May, there's about 30 of us that are on the committee. Ted Maxwell, thank you for your service there too. I really look forward to having you on that committee, because I think, you know, your experience and knowledge of the college and how it's grown from what it had been 10 years ago to what it is now would be really beneficial to have you on that committee. So thank you for stepping up, stepping in. And then the committee will be reviewing hopefully 30, 40, I'm not sure how many they're going to give us, but hopefully quite a few to look at. And then what we'll do is the committee will go through those and they will select their top 5, 6, 8, whatever it is that the committee decides to present to the governing board. And then the governing board will be interviewing in person those 3, 4, 5 finalists. And that's all going to happen by the end of May.
That's a great summary of the operation. Teresa and I talked about the community engagement and the committee that's going to help select. Provides coverage both for the Board of Governors. So while you ultimately, as the Board of Governors, are the hiring authority, this gives some community insight with a broad diversity of backgrounds and folks that have different things. Obviously, I'm going to bring a workforce development picture, but the community colleges are so broad and what they offer to so many people. It's important to have all those voices at the table. And I think, although I've not met everybody else yet, I'm sure it's going to be a broad and diverse group involved in that too. I really appreciate your emphasis on enrollment, because what people forget is the state of Arizona has not for years now funded either Pima Community College or the Maricopa Community College. It's something we've worked on trying to get some of that funding back. But for now, it really is all about enrollment. Your enrollment is key and it's critical. So we've got about another minute to talk. In your perfect world, what's that chancellor going to have? Him or her, what kind of qualities are they going to bring in, and what are you looking for?
I'm looking for a champion of the college. I would hope that this person, whether she or he, has had lots of vast experience before. I'm hoping that they're willing to work hard to continue the growth and the betterment of the college. I think that it would be wonderful to have a person who is willing to make the college first, to make sure that the college is the center of their work and their energy and their motivation and their drive. We have the most amazing employees at the college. We have the most amazing students. And now what we need, and we have a really pretty good governing board too. Now what we need is, you know, we need to get a chancellor in this position that is going to lead the college forward for hopefully the next 10 to 15 years.
And Teresa Rowell, I greatly appreciate you being on the show today. Everybody, thank you for joining us at KVOI 1030 The Voice. You've been listening to Jump in Tucson. Teresa, have a great week. And everyone who's listening, have a great week as well.
Thank you, Ted.